Sorry for the tardiness. But let us learn. So today we're going to finish the 27th chapter of Tanya. And let me remind you that we are troubleshooting, dealing with issues of despair, despondency, and depression. People who might not find satisfaction in life. Why are they not finding satisfaction in life? Well, it goes something like this. If you follow the old page numbers, by the way, it's page 68. Look at the top of the page. You'll see a 68 on top. So we're towards the bottom, the very bottom of that page. Just before it, you'll see the Perek Chazayin ends on page Lamed Hey. Go one more page. 68. Near the bottom. The bottom eighth of the page. So the person who tries very hard to change his or her life and doesn't succeed, and therefore experiences profound frustration. I'm not getting anywhere. The tzaddik gets there, and I don't. I deal with these demons. I deal with these dark issues and challenges, and then right back at it again. Here I am, in the same place where I started off. Maybe not exactly the same. Maybe slightly tweaked or adjusted. I'm still struggling. How much struggle already? What does the Eibishter need this for? Why didn't he give me the koyach to go beyond? So in the previous class, we talked about the special virtue that the Beinoni, that the average in-between Jew has. That inasmuch as he or she does not experience a paradigm shift, and they do not become transformed as individuals, and they still struggle with the same things, Hashem has tremendous nachas from that. And the Alter Rebbe said that your business is to give Hashem nachas. And why it is that you got chosen for this mission and somebody else got chosen for another mission, that's not your business. That's not your issue. You have to follow through and do what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants from you. And so not only when we're able to push or cast aside desires which are actually unhealthy and rebellious, things which are clearly ordained as wrong in the Torah, do we make a difference? And do we bring about what's called istalaki kara dekutshu brichu? Do we draw forth the glory of God because we experienced iskafia, because we crushed or broke the sitra achra? And when you crush and break the sitra achra in our lives, in our world, then this brings about an extraordinary profusion of holiness and godliness on high. So not only is that the case, but the Alter Rebbe took us even further. And he said, you should know that even when a person reins himself in or restrains themselves from doing something which they intensely desire and are allowed to do, in fact must do, like for example eating. If you don't feed the horse will die. There's that silly story of the guy who told his friend, I tried to train my horse to stop eating so we could save money. And the friend said, how did it go? He said, I almost had it done and then the stupid horse died. Mm-hmm. You cannot starve your body, this doesn't work. And there'll be a price to pay. And that's not a good thing. So if a person will experience self-mortification and they'll hurt themselves and starve themselves and damage themselves in the desire to serve Hashem, they'll actually be doing quite the opposite. Because here's a person now who can't be conversant with others, who can't be joyous, who can't be satisfied, who can't be happy. He's miserable. And Hashem doesn't need miserable people. Hashem wants Ivdus Hashem b'simcha. The only way to serve Hashem is with joy. So it's fully permissible. And not only is it permissible, it's a mitzvah for you to feed yourself. Having said that, what happens if a person says, I'm hungry, I want to feed myself. You know what? If I wait another 10 minutes, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And actually, the sugar is not necessary either. Restrains themselves. So you're doing what has to be done. And in fact, it might even not be a question of denying yourself extra sweetness. It might be the exact same food. It's healthy, wholesome, good food. You're going to eat it. But you just restrain yourself for another small amount of time. In the time of the Gemara, Hayomarivim Atzam Shah Shatayim, the sages used to restrain themselves. They would delay their meal an hour or 2 hours in order to accomplish this. And the point is that you're doing something to demonstrate your love and your loyalty for Hashem. And that is valuable in God's eyes. So, for example, the tzaddik doesn't have this opportunity because for the tzaddik, he's happy to delay mealtimes. They tell a story of one of the Pelech Rebbes who was like a rail, like a hardly ate. He ate on Shabbos, barely nibbled during the week a little bit. So they once said to him, Rebbe, you have to eat. Why don't you eat? The Rebbe said, believe me, he said, I want to eat, but I have to eat L'Shem Shamayim. And I find it harder to eat L'Shem Shamayim than not to eat at all. So he says, it's just easier for me. It's just a simple way for me to get through life. It's more taxing. It's more difficult for me to engage in mealtimes than to ignore mealtimes altogether. Okay, this is, for us, this is like talking about outer space. It's not something which we any of us can relate to, but at least we can hear this idea that a tzaddik is in a different realm. So he doesn't have these opportunities to delay or kind of push off everyday life in order to serve Hashem. The tzaddik does everything that he or she has to do, exactly when they have to do it, not one moment before, and they have no interest in the physical and the material libido or sensual pleasure. Okay, that's tzaddikim. So tzaddikim don't get to do this, but we do. All the time. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe said, this should be a comfort for you. So when you sort of don't say it, you could have said it, you're not going to say it. Or eventually it has to be said. When it has to be said, you'll say it, but you're not going to say it sooner. And you're just going to close your mouth, and you're just going to restrain yourself. It could be in any manner of things, from things we say, to things we think, to things we do, to things we ingest. If a person restrains himself, he brings about a nachas, a satisfaction on high. And the Alter Rebbe says, "Afilu b'ma'at mize'er," even if it's very small. It's a very small move forward. He didn't do anything great or big or fantastic. The iskafia sitra achra l'sata. You crushed the sitra achra right here in this world. In doing so, istalek yikara de kuchu brichu. You cause the profusion of what's called yikara, the glory of God in all worlds. Kuchu brichu v'kudushosei le'elo, and Hashem's kedusha on high. So even though we didn't do very much, Hashem promises that he has nachas from us, and he tells us that even if you make the smallest of moves, it makes the biggest of differences to him. So what could this be like? First of all, the Alter Rebbe metaphorizes later on in Egeres HaTshuva, and he says, we know that when the shade moves a few centimeters on earth, it's indicative of the sun having traveled thousands of kilometers in heaven. That's number one. So we see a paradigm or an example of something where there's a huge distance, and what seems to be small on one end is actually a reflection of something very big, something very profound on the other end. And that's a mashal. God is not a ball of sun, chas v'shalom, and our mitzvahs are not a little bit of shade. But there's a metaphor between what we refer to as heaven, or we see as far out or distant from us, how there could be a difference where something small on earth is actually magnified greatly in another realm, in another orbit. How much more so when we talk about ruchnius. So therefore, every time a Yid does something in the realm of Ruchnius, it means a great deal. You know, small children have the opportunity to bring pleasure to their parents that really nobody else does. You lose this innocence, you lose it once you get a little bit older. But when a small child does something to please their parents, it could be something which is of virtually no value, but they did something to please their parents, and their parents know that they did something, what's the reaction of the parents? Parents are so pleased. Like the child says, or they overhear, even more important, that I was going to do X, Y, and Z. I didn't do it because I know my mommy or my daddy is not happy about that. And the parents take so much pride that my child had the inner fortitude and the courage and the strength and conviction not to do the wrong thing or not to do what I didn't want them to do. Or restrain themselves and do something which they thought I wanted because they love me. So that's how Hashem looks at us. We're like a small little child. And in as much as, objectively speaking, our activities don't seem to be very impressive, the ultimate arbiter or decisor of that is God himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of his love for us, says that those small things are of huge merit, value, meaning, and appreciation to me. So this is kind of where we left off last week. And Alter Rebbe uses the word Mekadosh, that when a person does something below, so what happens is he brings forth Kedushas Le'ela, and he uses and he adds a word in between parentheses, his Harbe. Harbe means an enormous volume. Now, very interestingly, there begins to be this, we show loyalty to Hashem, and because we show loyalty to Hashem, here we suddenly discover this symbiotic relationship, that there is, and we're reaching out to Hashem, and Hashem conversely reaches out to us. When we do something to sanctify ourselves, to remove ourselves, to restrain ourselves from that which we want very badly, but we don't do it because we want to demonstrate our loyalty to Hashem. When that happens, first of all, we bring forth a profusion of divinity in this world, but it happens more so in a personal way. This Kedusha, from this holiness, there is Nimshach, a Kedusha al-Yoyna, a superior and a supernal holiness, Al ha'adam l'mata. So what were you upset about? You were upset, you were frustrated that you weren't getting anywhere. You were frustrated and upset that you weren't going forward in your Yiddishkeit. Well, if you make a small move, Hashem promises you that He will give you a great deal of holiness. And this turns into, this is distilled into, l'siyua, l'sayay siyua rav, that Hashem provides great assistance, l'avidasa yizbarech, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in turn, a Yid gets help. A Yid gets assistance. He gets like an intervention. And sometimes people don't even know how they did things. You say, how did you accomplish this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I get the koyach from. And the answer is because we did our best. And we do our best. And we really try hard to reach beyond the range of what comes to us easily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then responds in like fashion and gives us koyach, gives us the strength to go from strength to strength beyond what we thought we were capable of doing. So this is the general snapshot of how our efforts necessarily engender and bring about a response from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is like the idea of all about loyalty. It's a loyalty program. You show loyalty, Hashem gives you back loyalty. You're dedicated to God, God's dedicated to you. You go out of your way, God, so to speak, goes out of His way. This is the meaning of what our sages said, and this is found in Maseches Yuma on page 39, that the Gemara says, Adam mekadesh atzmei ma'at l'mata. A person seeks to sanctify themselves, even just a little bit, says the Gemara. Not a big deal. You didn't turn your life inside out. You did something perhaps small. But it's done l'mata. And when a person does that l'mata, mekadshin oisei harbe mo'mayla, then he receives a tremendous profusion of holiness. He is sanctified in great level, in great volume from above. So here we have again the paradigm of ma'at and harbe. You did a little, the response, the result was a lot. And that's what Hashem promises us. So every small thing counts. Every time a person reined himself in, every time a person did what was difficult and challenging or perhaps painful, but did it for a sacred and a holy purpose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invariably responds in an extraordinary fashion. And now it gets really interesting. Up until this point, we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we spoke about God providing for us in a manner, in a way, which is in response to us avoiding negativity. And avoiding negativity, we said, can be in two ways. One could be the concept of our avoiding sin, which the tzaddik doesn't have to struggle with. Tzaddik doesn't have those desires. For the tzaddik, anything which is a physical material pursuit, certainly if it's sinful spiritual pursuit, material pursuit, the tzaddik has no interest in whatsoever. And he's made uncomfortable by it, makes his skin crawl. So he doesn't have a chance to be able to cast that aside. And we have the opportunity to bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on high. And then it gets into a situation where sometimes we're able to restrain or refrain ourselves from doing things which might not even be wrong. They're in fact even right. But you're going to hold back or restrain in order to demonstrate your loyalty to Hashem. Now, once again, if we're talking about something that requires restraint, if we have to hold back, then what's understood from this? If you have to hold back, it's understood that you really want this. So for example, when you have that uncomfortable conversation that you have to have with somebody and you keep delaying the conversation, why? Precisely because it's uncomfortable. Nobody's going to give you credit. So, did you have that conversation yet? No, I don't have it yet. I'm delaying. I'm waiting. So, you're such a tzaddik. You're such a chassid that you're delaying the conversation. No, they would say on the contrary. They'd say, you didn't have the difficult conversation yet? What's with you? Just get over it. Do it. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. It's painful. It's hard, right? So we don't get any credit for that. We would get credit, on the contrary, for going ahead and doing what had to be done. But the tzaddik is a person for whom doing the material, physical pursuit, which is necessary, is of no interest to him. So what does the tzaddik naturally do? He delays. Okay, I'll do it later. I'll get to it. He knows he has to feed himself. Eventually, I'll feed myself. I'll take care. Don't worry. I'm not going to die. I'll make sure the body's in good working order. But there's no interest. So restraining to hold back or not to eat for another half hour for the tzaddik is meaningless. It's natural. That's intuitive. Sometimes the tzaddik's avodah is to go and eat. The tzaddik is to interrupt what he's doing and do the mitzvah of v'nishmartem eidl nafshasechem, take care of himself. However, when we're talking about the Beinoni, the average person who is still very much in the vice grip of his Nefesh HaBamas, of his animal soul, his Yetzirah is raging. So the fact that he's not even doing something wrong, okay, that's already a big thing. But he's even restraining from doing things which he naturally would want and he has to eventually. And yet, just restrains himself, I'm not going to do it yet. I'll do it when I get to it. I'm going to restrain myself from doing it. And he does this only as an act of loyalty. Then invariably, once again, he has achieved something special and he has brought about nachas on high and brought forth a profusion of divine grace and glory. Very nice. All of this is about avoiding. All of this, if you will, is in a negative context. It's all negative. Not doing the sin, not doing the thing you wanted to do. It's all about no. But you know, Yiddishkeit is supposed to be a positive experience. So the question becomes, Does a tzaddik have virtue that an ordinary person doesn't have in the area of asei toiv, in the area of doing good things? And the answer obviously is, of course, tzaddik is, his avod is unbelievable. He's able to reach for the heavens and he's able to achieve such an incredible devotion and dedication. It pales in comparison with what any of us could do. I just saw yesterday about Shkacha Prata, somebody posted on Facebook that is from the Magad, I think it's Magad of Mizich, who once said that there's certain tzaddikim that they hold themselves so low, they're so humble, that that's the reason their prayers don't get answered. Because they don't believe that their prayers are going to be answered. And because they don't believe, because they think of themselves in such a lowly fashion, so that's the Aveda of a tzaddik. He should have more self-confidence. He should think more of himself. No worries. Nothing to do with us, guys. We don't have to worry about thinking more of ourselves. We already think far too much of ourselves. But the tzaddik has that avoda. So the tzaddik's avoda is to try harder, to be more positive, to posit about everything, to live with absolute humility, and at the same time to strive even more and try even harder to come close to Hashem. Very nice. Is there a virtue or value that's in the grasp of the beinoni, the average in-between ordinary Jew, that the tzaddik doesn't have? Can the Beinoni, can the everyday Jew who struggles with everyday life do something in the positive sense, not in the negative, in the positive sense, to demonstrate his or her loyalty to Hashem that is more profound on some level, more meaningful than the Aveda of a Tzaddik? So people would probably intuitively say no. No, like, okay, we can avoid things, but tzaddikim, when it comes to positivity, they for sure are doing more. The tzaddik is a ball of positivity. He's a paragon of positive energy. Now, the Rebbe says an amazing chiddush here. And this is so radical that it actually is glossed over most of the time. People don't even realize this. It's at the very end of Perek of Zion. They just want to get out of this depression already. Like, they move forward. You know, Al-Tareba says something in these last few lines which is actually mind-blowing. He identifies a strain of positive loyalty that a Beinoni can experience and exhibit that a tzaddik cannot. What could that be? What could we do that a tzaddik can't do? Says the Alter Rebbe, Levad, besides everything else, Masha Mekayim mitzvahs asei shel Torah v'hiskadishtem. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, and it's based on the pasuk that opens the parsha that we read a couple of weeks ago, Kedoshim Tiyu. And the parsha says, "Kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. Why should you be holy? Ki kodesh ani, because I am holy." Says Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ramban comes along and he says that you should know that this is a positive mitzvah in the Torah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs, and that the mitzvah is v'hiskadashtim v'yisim kedoshim. Rambam disagrees. Rambam says anything which is a inyan klali, anything which is overarching for Judaism, is not a mitzvah in and of itself. Like, serve God. Yes, serve God is not a mitzvah. All of Yiddishkeit is serve God. But the Ramban says, no, this is specific. He says this means when a person is mekadesh es atzmai, when he sanctifies himself, so one's sanctifying themselves necessarily fulfills a positive mitzvah. Now I ask you the simple question. What does that mean? How do you sanctify yourself? What does it mean? So you would naturally say, what do you mean? Mitzvahs. Do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are asher kedishanu, God sanctified us, the mitzvahs of with his commandments. Vitzivanu, and he instructed, we should A, B, C, whatever the mitzvah might be, to bless, to take, to go, to eat, to listen, whatever the mitzvah is going to be. So the mitzvah, intuitively, if you would ask somebody, how could you sanctify yourself? They would answer by performance of mitzvahs. But the truth is that this seems to be saying something else, because it says v'hiskadishtem, you should make yourself holy. But when it comes to a mitzvah, we say asher kiddishanu, God made us holy. God sanctified us. He gave us the opportunity to do this mitzvah. I'm not sanctifying myself. So our sages tell us in the Gemara, this refers to something called Kadesh Atzmecha. You can do your own efforts. You can make your own contribution in the area of Kedusha. How? B'mutar lach. You can sanctify yourself in the arena of things which are permissible to you. So that means, if you will have the opportunity to refrain or restrain yourself from doing something which is permissible, and you do it as an act of love and loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that is the fulfillment of a mitzvah. And that's how you actually hallow and sanctify yourself. If we have a situation of a relationship, it could be any number of relationships, whether it's a familial relationship, or whether it's lateral, or it's parents and children, or siblings, whether it's just a friendship, which is a platonic relationship, whether it's a relationship between husband and wife. But when one part of the relationship goes out of their way and does something that was difficult and painful, and required tremendous effort, and they did it only for one reason, just to try to please the other, what invariably happens? What's the response of a normal person? I mean, there are some crazy people out there, but a normal person who you see somebody worked really hard just to please you, mind you, it didn't work. They didn't actually accomplish what you wanted, and it's not what you expected, but they worked really hard. How does a normal person react? Appreciatively. That's the most powerful way to cement a relationship, when we do things. And the more we do, go out of our way to do things, sometimes it's a small thing. Sometimes it's showing I was thinking about you. Sometimes husbands and wives don't have to do huge things, buy jewelry, a little flower, a little note, a little piece of chocolate, something, just something to say, I was thinking about you. It's very valuable. It engenders a response. It elicits it, wow. I appreciate so much you were thinking about me, and how do we respond invariably? With greater love, with greater devotion. This is not unlike the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are things we have to do in a relationship. There's the things which we are required to do. And then the things we're not required to do. And then there's the things that, not only not required to do, if we wouldn't do it, nobody would say, hey, how come you didn't do this? You couldn't go the extra mile. It wasn't even on the radar of the extra mile, but you went the extra mile. And you demonstrated a sensitivity and a concern and for something which maybe most would not even have looked at or thought of twice, but you did. Invariably, you will bring about an intensification, a deepening of that relationship. I don't think this is esoteric. It's very easy to understand. The mitzvah of Yiskadishtem, on a simple level, means when a yid says to the Bnei Shalom, Almighty God, I love you and I want to give to you. And because I want to give to you, I'm going to give that which is dear to me, that which is important to me, that which is valuable to me, I'm going to give that. How do you think Hashem responds? In like fashion. There's a beautiful story of the Baal Shem Tov, that he once took his Talmidim on a walk through rivers, over hills and across rivers, through meadows, a long, long walk. And finally they came to a little clearing, and the Baal Shem Tov said, here, wait. And after a while, a shepherd boy came. And the shepherd boy brought the sheep, and he made sure the sheep were grazing, and there was some water for them to drink. You know, on the beautiful Carpathian mountain ridges where the Baal Shem Tov would go with his Talmidim, this little clearing and everything is beautiful. And then the boy at some point looks around, nobody's there, and he begins to speak on top of his lungs. He says, Dear God, I love you so much. I want to show you how much I love you. And he starts to do somersaults. And he does somersaults till he falls down exhausted. And then a little while later, he comes to himself and he gets up and he has a drink and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I love you so much. I don't know how to please you. I don't know what I could do, but I wanted. And he intends to doing the somersaults until he falls down exhausted. And this happens a number of times. And the Baal Shem Tov turns to his Talmidim and he said, this is the meaning of Avedas Hashem. So nowhere in the Torah does it say, thou shalt do somersaults. And if anybody would listen to this class and say, okay, I know what I'm doing this afternoon. I'm going to a park and I'm going to do somersaults. He would be an absolute fool. Don't do somersaults. Go to a homeless kitchen and feed the homeless. Go do something. Go do a mitzvah. Go help somebody. But this simple shepherd boy, he didn't have the ability to think in that manner. All he knew is he wanted to do something to please Hashem. And because he was absolutely sincere, which is the sincerity that most of us are not capable of mustering, because we're too sophisticated. You have to be a very simple person to live with this kind of simplicity in a sincere way. But because of his simplicity, because of his sincerity, He brought tremendous nachas on high, and it took a tzaddik like the Baal Shem Tov, who had enormous sensitivity for spiritual activity. And the Baal Shem Tov somehow, we don't know if the Baal Shem Tov knew what this boy was going to do or had seen this before, but the Baal Shem Tov was drawn to this because of his aptitude for spirituality, for his aptitude. He knew something special was happening here. And maybe the Baal Shem Tov was as surprised as Talmidim, I don't know. But he knew there was something to see here, and there's a lesson to be learned. So v'yiskadishtim could be any level of v'yiskadishtim when a person goes beyond k'shemekadesh atzmai b'mutalach, says the Gemara in Yevamos. You sanctify yourself in the arena, in the area of that which is permissible for you. So the Alter Rebbe says, u'peirish v'yiskadishtim means shetasu atzvichem k'deshim. You should make yourself holy. K'loyimar, in other words, afsha be'emes eini kodesh u'muvdol. You are not holy. I mean, you're holy because God says every Yid is holy, but you're not really holy. You're not living a life of holiness. If you look at the sum of your activities, if you look at the currency of most of your engagements and most of your actions and most of your thoughts and deeds, they are not holy. So you have to make yourself holy because you're not innately holy. The life you're living is not innately filled with holiness. Kiloimar. You aren't separated. You aren't out of circulation with the comings and goings of the ordinary mundane world. Quite the contrary. But you make yourself holy anyway. Why aren't you holy? Because you are contending with a big fat sitra achra. The sitra achra is inside. He hasn't gone anywhere. When you're mekadesh, which means, as we learned in previous classes, to separate yourself, to distance yourself, to cause a distinction, make it something, set it aside, take it out of circulation. So there's a sitra achra, and there's a world of lust and craving and desire, and the sensual pleasure and libido, and you took yourself out of that, and you're not living that life. So you're not living like a regular person is living. That means you're living a life of holiness. But here we have a situation where a person is living that life. That's what his life is. That's what his life is. He's not worried about what the next davening is going to look like. He's worried about what the next meal is going to taste like. Because that's where we are. Or whatever the equivalent of a meal is, or whatever the equivalent of a davening should be. So this is where we are. And because that's where we are, and because we're not living, ki b'tokva, ubigvurasa, kitoldasa, we have a sitracha that is equally powerful today as it was yesterday, and maybe even more so. B'chol lasmali on the left side. So why isn't he giving in all the time? The answer is because he's a Beinoni, because he's struggling. Raksha koivish yitzrei, because he is conquering the Yetzirah. Mikadesh atzmei, he's sanctifying himself. So he's sanctifying himself. V'hiyisim kadeshim. Hashem promises, if you sanctify yourself, even if you aren't innately living a life of holiness, but you sanctify yourself, you will be holy, says Rabbeinu Shalom. You will be holy, says the Master of the Universe. Kiloimar soifoi lihiyos kodeshim uvdol. Even though you aren't living a life apart, you're very much a part of things. But if you seek to pull yourself apart from the comings and goings of the ordinary world, if you seek to, for even a moment, live in a headspace, mind space, in a frame of holiness, so then what happens is this engenders from Hashem, li yis kadosh umuvdu ma'sitra achra. Then you can, in fact, become separated. You can, in fact, make yourself distinct. You can manage to extricate yourself from that orbit and take yourself out of circulation. And that happens, because sometimes you can get a tremendous infusion of holiness from on high. And sometimes Hashem could help you as a result of your efforts to actually drive these things out of your heart. Really, how does the Alter Rebbe finish here? He finishes here. This chapter is all about the frustration of the Beinoni. His inability to rise above the challenges of everyday life, and almost at the jealousy, he feels to the tzaddik. He's like, he's getting depressed. I'm accomplishing nothing. And Alter Rebbe is comforting us and telling us why our avodah is so meaningful, and why we are so special, and why God loves us so much, and why we have opportunities even the tzaddik doesn't have. And he finishes now with the most amazing idea that we have the opportunity to do a positive mitzvah that the tzaddik doesn't have. The tzaddik did the positive mitzvah, but that's post ipso facto. He's already in orbit. He's already broken the atmosphere. So the tzaddik already did it. We're still trying to do it. And because we're trying to do it, we can dynamically do that mitzvah today, whereas the tzaddik can't anymore. The tzaddik did the mitzvah. He was v'hiskadishtem. He achieved v'hiyisim kadeshim. But today, can't do it. But you and I can. So we have something positive in our hands, in our grasp, that the tzaddik doesn't have. So this is tremendously comforting, or it should be. And Alter Rebbe finishes with the idea that the truth If you work at this hard enough and you care enough about it, eventually you actually could accomplish on some level what the tzaddik accomplishes too. And that's what the promise of Torah, v'yiskadishtem, v'yisim kadeshim. You actually could become holy. And this could become like the Rebbe explains in some of his letters, that a person could achieve holiness on a certain area. In a certain area, there could be a certain area of life that once beckoned to him, that once had interest, and then it fades away. In this area, you become like a tzaddik. For this thing you once had a taiva for, you no longer have a lust for it. I'm not talking about things which you naturally find abhorrent. There are certain taivas out there that some people you lust and yearn for, and other people find it abhorrent. So that's not a tzaddik. It can't be a tzaddik by default. But there could be an area where something maybe did catch your attention and was of interest to you, and once upon a time you might have gone down that path, but because of your avodah, because of your efforts, you managed to achieve a level where that is no longer part of your repertoire. Ah, the yisim kadoshim. In this area, you actually did become sanctified, you did become holy, you did break the atmosphere, so to speak, and you experience, if even microcosmically, the level of a tzaddik, and you can have that spiritual satisfaction as well. And with this, my dear friends, we finished the 27th chapter of Tanya, and we will continue on Perek Koyach, on the powerful 28th chapter of Tanya, in Metz Hashem, next week. Thank you.